there. How are you going? Thank you for tuning into this episode of Healthyish, the podcast from Body and Soul. I am the host, Felicity Harley. You've probably heard of intuitive eating, right? I'm sure you have. The term was first coined in 1995 as the title of a book, but of course its roots go way back. Well, you may, like me and a lot of other people on the internet, have thought that maybe it was just another diet, another way of eating, part of the diet culture with a somewhat regular title. But as Jacqueline Orwell explains today, it's much more nuanced than that. By the way, Jacqueline is an accredited nutritionist behind the brown paper bag. She's a personal trainer, a mum, and an ambassador for Mount Elephant. And she's going to tell us all about intuitive eating. Now, after listening to this ep, if you do want to know more, Jacqueline is up on Extra Healthy-ish, taking a deep dive into the topic. Search for that wherever you get your podcasts. Jacqueline, lovely to have you back on Healthyish. I was just saying, I think last time you were heavily pregnant and now you have had a baby girl. Well, a long time ago.
Yeah, I know. Time flies, doesn't it? So much happens in between. It's so nice to be back. Thank you for having me.
Now, we're talking about intuitive eating. You're a bit of an advocate for this. Tell us about it. Why?
I'd say I advocate intuitive eating probably from my own experience with an eating disorder for easily over a decade, and then that being followed by trying multiple other diets. And I realized that none of that was really sustainable. It made me feel good or different only for a short time frame. And after years of this kind of relationship with food and my body and my health, I really just didn't want to feel that way anymore, to be honest. I wanted to feel connected and content eating. I didn't want to feel regret or guilt around what was going in my mouth and then how I looked at my body as a result after. I just wanted to kind of feel good again. And interestingly, as you do, certainly in nutrition, I was attracting a lot of clients to my clinic at that time working through the same kind of thing. So it was an opportunity for my own healing, but also to support people and teach them how to reconnect with their mind and body when it came to food and to help them develop that trust in themselves again.
So tell us, what is it exactly? Like, is it just, okay, I'm hungry, I've got to eat? Is that basically what it is in a nutshell?
A little bit. Look, it's probably the furthest thing from a diet, which I think can be a common misconception. It really is about developing a healthy relationship between your food, your body, and your mind. And yeah, as you said, intuitive eating, it really is about understanding when you're hungry and eating to feel satisfied. And it's different because you let go of all these rules that you may have held if you'd been on a diet. So rules around how few carbs you might need to eat, or that you must avoid grains and dairy, or being so strict about sugar consumption that you even ditch fruit. Intuitive eating, rather, it helps you reconnect to the signals your body is giving you and to understand whether they're physical or emotional signals relating to food, and thereby helping you to eat to feel good, to put trust back into your body where diets may have stripped that out, and to remove the guilt and the judgment that so many of us hold around food in our bodies.
Yeah, so many of us. What are the benefits of this style eating? And tell me, how can you distinguish, those hunger cues? I mean, I think often a lot of us don't know what it is to feel truly hungry compared to perhaps feeling emotionally hungry. So tell us about this.
Yeah. So the ultimate benefit would be that there's a much healthier psychological attitude around food, especially for those people that are shifting from a life of diet after diet and learning how to eat more intuitively. We don't have strict rules with intuitive eating, and that can be a hard one for people who are accustomed to dieting to understand initially, but also why it's so important. It's very much a process of rebuilding trust and knowing that what you eat can make you feel and help your body function at its best. You make that reconnection around food and what it's telling you. And with regard to it being a recognition of signals, we We help people understand the biological signals of hunger, which are vastly different to emotional signals. So biological signals of hunger, or physical signals of hunger, sorry, are, you know, your body telling you that you need to replenish nutrition, that you need fuel, that you'll have signals like you'll feel tired or irritable, or, you know, you have that growling tummy. And one that I always encourage people to tune into as well is that irritability and that anxiety that you can certainly feel. And that is so common. And it really is when you're, if you're starving your body or you're restricting your food intake so heavily, it really can put your body into a state of stress and cause more anxiety than what you may already have, or maybe you never had it at all. And really that might be a sign that your body's saying, hey, I need some fuel here and I need some good nutrition. So there are physical signals that we, you know, help people understand, which are very different to emotional signals. So your emotional signals are perhaps that you're sad, or you're bored, or you're lonely, or perhaps you're procrastinating, or you're in avoidance of something, and therefore you lean onto food as an emotional crutch per se, instead of perhaps going for a walk and getting, you know, disconnecting food and your emotional health, which is really important as well. So it really is learning those signals and what you need to do to respond effectively to feel good.
So really it's just focusing on, I mean, how we feel. And I think that, you know, once you start focusing on how you feel to eat, but also how food makes you feel, I think that was perhaps a game changer for me when it came to food. How can we actually apply this way of eating in our life, in our daily life?
Yeah, so maybe we want to put it into the context of someone that has been trying a lot of diets and maybe not getting the result that they want, or that feeling. So it might look like, for instance, tuning into early morning hunger signals and sitting down for some breakfast instead of pushing through and fasting until midday, potentially just having a heap of long blacks to sustain you until then, and potentially putting your body under more stress when perhaps that's just not what you personally need. It may work for your partner, but maybe it's not what it works for you. It might be that you start incorporating a variety of foods on your plate at your main meals, and foods that you might have felt fear around, so things like carbs, people develop a lot of that, and you might have spent years avoiding them. And knowing that the balance of different foods and that variety on your plate is what your body needs to thrive and to help you feel good. And importantly, it's about creating some peace around food and around your meals, and knowing, for instance, that you can have an afternoon treat without berating yourself after. Because when you have this trust and a healthy relationship with food, you eat the treat, you feel satisfied, and you move on. You don't have to overeat it because it's been off limits for so long, and you don't have to feel days of guilt after. And this was sort of something for me as well that was really important in certainly my personal experience and path of healing was, you know, I wanted to have those treats, but I always felt this terrible guilt around them. So it was about learning how to have peace with those treats, how I could actually reconnect with my food. I started cooking them and making them and fueling them with whole foods as well, so that was good nutrition, so I was feeling good. And that was a really important part of the process, was about finding joy in food again. So that was vital as well. So, and then all these years later as well, I've now managed to put these little delicious treats on shelf. I've created a range of bake mixes with Mount Elephant. I have cookies and brownies and blondies. And that's been a really beautiful thing to not only, you know, have a product out there in the world, but to help people understand that they too can have a treat that makes them feel good, and you don't need to put all these rules and restrictions around how you want to eat.
Congratulations on your new product, and thank you for coming on Healthy-ish.
Thank you.
Well, if this style of eating does interest you, Jacqueline is up on Extra Healthy-ish taking a deep dive into it. And by the way, if this episode has triggered anything from you, the Butterfly Foundation is always there. Their helpline is 1-800-334-673 or jump onto butterfly.org.au. Anyway, thank you for listening again. If you want more from us, bodyandsoul.com.au or jump on social media. We are on Instagram, Facebook and TikTok. Anyway, thanks again for listening in. And if you have a moment, we'd be so grateful if you could rate, review, and subscribe to this podcast. And until tomorrow, stay healthy-ish.
News doesn't have to be boring.
The Brits have given Prince Harry a new nickname after yet another tell-all interview.
Oh God, is it the Ginger Whinger?
Let the team at news.com.au get you up to speed each day with their podcast from the newsroom.
A couple were busted joining the Mile High Club.
Well, I guess they can't fly Virgin anymore.
Politics, sport, red carpets, royals. Get all the goss in just a few minutes. Follow From the Newsroom wherever you get your podcast from.